congregation, please stand. Remain standing as we sing the hymn, "O Give Us Homes," found in the back of the order of service.
Thank you.
seated. Our help is in the name of the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Dearly beloved, we are gathered together in the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses to join together Wilson Hannum and Alexandra Beard in the bonds of holy matrimony according to the ordinance of God, the custom of the Christian Church, and the laws of this province, and to implore on their behalf the blessing of God. A marriage is an honorable and holy estate instituted by God, sanctioned and honored by Christ's presence at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and likened by the Apostle Paul to the mystical union which exists between Christ and his church. It was ordained of God as the foundation and bond of family life for the mutual help and comfort of husband and wife and for the welfare of the state. Marriage is therefore not to be entered upon lightly or thoughtlessly, but thoughtfully, reverently, and in the fear of God. Into this holy estate, these two persons now desire to enter. Therefore, if any man can show any just cause why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him now declare it, or else forever hold his peace. Moreover, I charge you both before God, the searcher of all hearts, that if either of you know of any impediment why you may not lawfully be united in marriage, you do now confess it, for be assured that so many as are joined together otherwise than God's word doth allow are not united by the Lord, neither is their marriage blessed by him. Hear now the scriptures written for our help and for our guidance. Teach us touching the duty of God's children to him and also to one another. Christ said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The Apostle John, he says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The Apostle Paul said, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let the wife see that she reverence her husband. Also the Apostle Paul said, Love suffereth long and is kind. Love seeketh not her own. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, and now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We're going to call upon the Reverend Larry Saunders of the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church, and he's going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Let us unite, please, in prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we bow in thy most holy presence today in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. And we humble ourselves, O Lord, in thy most great and gracious presence. We are thankful for this special day in providence that has brought us here to the wedding of Wilson and Alexandra. And we ask, O God, for a real sense of thy presence with us today. Lord, be pleased to shine upon us. Shine upon the Word of God and illuminate our hearts and draw us ever closer to the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray as these two unite in their marriage, that their home will indeed be a blessed home, a home where Christ is the head and the center of all. And we ask thee, Lord, to bless them as they serve the living and the true God in their lives. Gracious Father, receive our thanksgiving for this day. Draw near to us now and bless each one. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Who giveth this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I do.
Wilson, Hannah, wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her, so long as you both shall live? Alexandra Beard, wilt thou have this man to be thy wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto him, so long as you both shall live? Wilson, Hannah, dost thou give this ring in token that thou wilt keep this covenant and perform these vows? Happy about that. Alexandra Beard, dost thou receive this ring in token that thou wilt keep this covenant and perform these vows? Let these rings continue to you both a symbol of the value, the purity, and the constancy of true wedded love, and a seal of the vows you have now made. You may kiss the bride. We're going to call upon the Reverend Kevin MacLeod, the minister of the Resharkin Free Presbyterian Church, also Wilson's minister, and he's going to bring a short word.
Thank you, Brother D'Adorno. It is a great joy and privilege for me to minister the Word of God on this occasion. And I was just thinking, as Wilson was having difficulty getting that ring on, it's going to be a lot harder to get it off. It's there, well and good for life. I want to read just two verses for you from that Old Testament book of Ruth, a little book, but a lovely book, the opening chapter, verses 16 and 17. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, Noemi, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me more also, if aught but death part thee and me." We could describe that resolution as Ruth's resolution to Naomi. What a tender and touching example we have here in these vows of love and loyalty. Vows like those that we have heard today on the part of the bride and the groom. They remind me of a young lady who, when her Christian boyfriend asked for her hand in marriage, she responded with these lovely words of Ruth. "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge," and so on. In fact, that young lady stands before me today. I speak of the beautiful bride, Alexandra. And how wonderful those words, that response was. Certainly unique, biblical, and beautiful. But far more beautiful still in the sight of God is the response of His bride, His blood-bought bride, His church, His people, when they similarly affirm their allegiance and their heartfelt affection to Him. After all, we owe much more to Christ as God's people than Ruth ever owed to Naomi. Now, why do we stress on this occasion the importance of a relationship with God? Because, generally speaking, when our relationship with God is right, our earthly relationships also will be right, including the marital relationship. Do you know, in these vows that we've read here in Ruth chapter 1, we have choice Christian privileges that God would have all His dear ones to enjoy. And I want just very briefly to set some of them before you and before Wilson and Alexandra today. The first one suggested here we could call companionship. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." Though many of us now are the saints of God, Christians, we once all were strangers to grace and to God. Worse still, we were enemies of God in our minds by wicked works. But grace intervened, and Christ, through His death and blood shedding, removed our sins so that now we are the friends of God. And we rejoice to set aside all sinful friendships that we might enjoy our friendship with Jesus Christ. Now, fittingly, Ruth's name means friendship. And she craved the friendship of Naomi. And I wonder, dear saint of God, are you craving Christ's companionship? Are you seeking to walk daily with Him? Very often as believers, when we come to the difficulties, distresses of life, we wonder how others can cope who have not Christ. What a wonderful blessing to have Him as our companion. Let me make it more applicable still to the bride and groom before us today. I would say to Alexandra and Wilson, make sure that Christ is your top companion, and that after Him, you make each other your top companion. The next privilege set before us in this passage is that of discipleship. Three words clearly express this. The words, "following after thee." In effect, Ruth was saying, though Orpah has turned back, Naomi, I will never turn back. I have determined to go with you all the way to the promised land, despite the difficulties that we may incur in the way. And though it took Him to the cross, our Lord pursued us till He had found us, and until He had saved us. Let us as believers declare daily, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. When our youngest girl, Charlotte, was learning to walk, she, with great delight, would get between her daddy's legs. And she would lay hold of the legs as best she could. And when I would try to walk away, she would not let go. So much so that we called her Velcro, because she stuck to us wherever we went. And I wonder, child of God, are you sticking close to Christ, your Lord and Master, who sticketh closer to us than any brother? Could I say to Wilson and Alexandra, learn to read and pray together as a couple. And then if God is pleased to give children, learn to read and pray together as a family. Attend the public means of grace and determine to follow Christ wherever He leads you. We do not know what the future holds for you. God alone knows. But make sure that you determine that you're going to follow Him all the way, every day. And He will lead you all the way to glory here and now below and then above. The third privilege is citizenship. Whither thou goest, I will go. Alexandra has resolved to go with Wilson to his country and to leave her country, this country, my country too, by the way, this country of Canada, behind. And she's going to be sorely missed by family and by friends here, by our churches in Barrie and Toronto. Sorely missed. Does that not remind us in a way of perhaps, if ever there was a sad day in heaven, when the Lord Jesus left all the splendors of glory for the sin and the shame and the suffering of earth? And He gladly took, as it were, the crown off that He deserved to wear and went all the way to the cross. And as His redeemed ones now, we gladly take up the cross, whatever that may involve. And we think not to lay it down until we arrive in heaven, where we'll exchange the cross for a crown. And while we seek to be good citizens down here below, ultimately The citizenship of the child of God is above. So we have dual citizenship here on earth. And bless God best of all in glory. And where our Savior has gone, we too, the Lord affirms, will go. And the heart that is attached to the risen Lord is detached from all down here. And that makes us pilgrims, passing through en route to glory. Could I say to Alexandra and Wilson, wherever your home might be, whatever it might be, make sure that you make it a heaven below, because under God your home is what you will make it. No one will make it for you. And with God's help, make it a heaven below. The devil wants the Christian home to destroy it. The Lord wants the home to bless it. And if you'll just give it over to Him, give your home to Him, then He will make it a Bethel. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. And then there is the blessing of fellowship implied. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. The Christian enjoys dual fellowship. Fellowship principally with God and then with all His saved people. And for the most part, where there is fellowship with God, there will be wonderful fellowship with God's own people. Now, relationship does not necessarily guarantee continual fellowship. While we do not work up our saving relationship with God, we must work out our fellowship with God and one the other. Just as Ruth went into the field of Boaz to labor. And we must daily get to the field of God's Word to hear it and heed it. And could I again apply it to Alexandra and Wilson? You must sacrificially keep the fellowship in the relationship. You cannot, despite what you may think at present, you cannot float effortlessly upon love forever. Now we trust that love will always continue. But there are times when you're going to have to work at your relationship. I remember a godly elder many years ago in my home city of Fredericton telling me that so far as he was concerned, as we began to witness more and more the breakdown of the family unit, that the greatest hindrance to a happy and harmonious marriage was selfishness, self-centeredness. And interestingly, the word sin has as a letter, middle letter, I. And if I is made the middle or the center of attention, then in the marriage bond there will be heartache and there will be heartbreak. But if Christ is the center, not even each other, then you will have a heaven below. Could I say again to the bride and groom, regardless of how much you love one another, invariably somewhere along the way, maybe even today, you may in some way wrong one another. That's inevitable. Could I encourage you to say what perhaps is the most difficult thing in all the world to say, and that is simply, I'm sorry. Now, I'm glad to say that I said I'm sorry to my wife this morning. I'll not tell you why. But we need to love one another humbly. And we ought not to be embarrassed or afraid to show it and to state it, even when you're out in public. Others should see that you have a love one for the other. And a selfless love will keep the fellowship, the happy fellowship, in the relationship. Now that leads us to the following privilege, that being relationship. Thy God shall be my God. You see, fellowship is based on relationship. And I wonder, friend, in the gathering today, do you know this God, the God of creation? This wedding didn't happen by chance, it was planned. You didn't happen by chance. Do you know the God of creation? Do you know the God of the Bible, of whom we speak in a loving and real and personal and a saving way? You've come and you've sung this hymn here in the house of God, but you cannot offer worship that is acceptable until you know the Lord in a real, powerful, and a saving way. Nor can you be a member of Christ's redeemed family until you're born into it. To religious Nicodemus, the Lord said, ye must be born again. The first birth guarantees for us that we're the children of Satan and sin. The second birth, the supernatural birth, is that which makes us the redeemed children of God, born again of the Spirit of God from heaven above. And if today you were to repent of sin and to receive Christ, immediately Christ would receive you into his fold and family, and you would here and now enter into a relationship, saving relationship with God that can never be broken, because there's no divorce with God. You are his and he is yours for all of God's eternity. Now, fellowship may for a time be breached, but it can never be broken. Ultimately, so far as the child of God is concerned. And thank the Lord, while that fellowship may for a time be breached, the relationship can never be broken. You can fall in the family of God, but you can never fall out of it. You know, could I say again to the bride and groom, under marriage, and there's nothing like marriage to knock off the rough edges, under God, that is precisely what he will do. And he will make you a better husband, Wilson, and you, Alexander, a better wife, a better Christian, and a better person. And I speak from the voice of experience. There will be rough edges that will need to be knocked off. And we're coming very quickly now to the end. The next privilege is that of partnership. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. This speaks of our union with Christ as God's people, not only in his death and burial, but in his resurrection. And we've been resurrected now to walk in newness of life, dead to sin, but alive to God. We live to him, we live by him, and ultimately we will be with him everlastingly in glory. And while there is a disparity of position in the marriage bond, the husband is to be the head of the home. And I stress that. While there is a disparity of position, there is a parity of persons. Both of you are equals. You're partners. You're inseparable partners. You leave mother and father today to cleave one to the other. So do as much as you can together, and you will find that your relationship will grow and it will flourish. And then, very briefly, the final privilege suggested here is that of ownership. Putting all these vows together, what Ruth was saying to Naomi is this: I am thine. That's what we say to the Lord today as God's people. We are thine, and he is ours. In a far higher and fuller sense than Ruth ever intended when she spoke these words to Naomi. Thank God we are his. He has put himself at our disposal, unreservedly given himself to us. Let us do the same to him. And what a blessed Christian life that will be. We are his, and he is ours. A closing illustration. A little boy received a penknife for his birthday. And we were glad for a penknife that we received the night of the rehearsal. I'll tell you more about that afterwards. But he received this penknife. He was taken with it, so much so he took it to school the next day. He passed it around. Various comments were heard. Some said, oh, it's nice. It's new. It's sharp. But when it came back into the hand of its owner, he said, it's mine. Is Christ yours? Are you his? Wilson and Alexandra, I don't mean to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but you are no longer your own. Days of independency are gone. That's not a bad thing. Wilson, she is yours, and you are his. Alexandra, he is yours, and Wilson, you are hers. And if day by day you'll pull together, look to Christ and lean hard upon Him, then your married life, despite what all the prophets of doom and gloom say, can be a life of continual bliss and blessings. And that is what we pray will be your portion. And we hope that this will be the case for every married individual here in the house of God today. Let's pray now to that end. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for this day which the Lord hath made. This is the day which the Lord hath made in a special sense, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. We thank Thee for the loving providence of God that saved Alexandra and Wilson. We thank Thee for that same providence that has brought them together here to this day. And we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt undertake for them. We thank Thee for the privilege of being here. We thank Thee for the wise instruction, the practical instruction of the Word of God. We remember all in this gathering, and we pray that their every spiritual need might be met in Christ. But especially we think of Wilson and Alexandra. We ask as they endeavor under Christ to set up home, that Thou wilt make every rough place smooth and crooked place straight. And we pray day by day You'll draw them closer one to the other and to Thyself above all else. Continue with us now throughout this day. May it be marked by a sweet sense of Thy presence with us, for we ask it in the dear Savior's name and for His sake. Amen.
For as much as you, Wilson Hannah, and you, Alexandra Beard, have consented together in wedlock and have pledged your troth to each other in the sight of God and in the presence of this company, and have confirmed the same by the joining of hands and the giving and receiving of the rings, now therefore, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I pronounce you husband and wife, whom therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. It is my pleasure to introduce to you for the first time Mr. and Mrs. Wilson Hannah.